Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Dave.
You big damn bastard!
Where'd you get your sleep?
Jesus Christ!
One gather, two alley.
This is the Dave Duke Podcast.
Money, money, money. Must be funny. Living in a rich man's world. Diddle-diddle-din. Gia Gwich, Cunnus the Tatu. Are you well, my friend? I'm Dave Duke. This is the Dave Duke Podcast, and it is episode 18. This week's podcast initially was going to be about death. Then I thought, after last week's episode of the podcast, me talking about work-life balance and how I'm feeling, and being honest with you, I thought, I better not give you a death podcast because you would get very worried about me. Had some lovely messages, some really heartfelt messages, some people just saying, thank you for being honest. Don't be thanking me. You owe me nothing. You're very good to me for listening to this podcast. I get a kick out of it. Perhaps you get something out of it. It's a two-way relationship. Life can't be always give and take. The reason why I initially thought I might speak about death is because at the time of this recording, it's only been a few hours since the death of Sinead O'Connor, an icon in Ireland, and today's gospel will be dedicated to Sinead O'Connor. Parking that, the other idea that had been boiling around in my head for the week was money. Why money? Fionnuala Corbett, my co-host, you might be familiar with the story that I played her wedding. And there was never a fee agreed because I did not want anything. It was part of her wedding present that I would play the wedding. Until last week, on Thursday, there was a card produced in my desk and it had vouchers to some of my favourite places in Athlone. There was also a hat tip to the podcast encouraging me to embrace Athlone a little bit more. And there was also cash in that card. And I took great offence that I was given cash by Fionnuala. So I took the cash out of the card and I put it back into an envelope. And I left it on her desk. And Fionnuala was coming out of a studio and I was walking out the door. And she says, oh, goodbye. Because usually we do say good luck to each other. And I was like, I said something smart and then I ran away. And then I messaged her. I says, thank you very much. But how dare you try and give me cash? It's a disgrace. And I told her, we're done. I don't want anything more. I'd give you back the vouchers, but I feel that would be more insulting than being gracious. So I took the vouchers. Very happy. Thank you, Fionnuala. Until Monday, on my desk, appeared a beautiful Leitrim jersey. And the first words it says, ah, you bitch! Because if you're an international listener, we do not say thank you in Ireland when we receive a present unexpectedly. We say, Ah, you fucking stupid cunt. There was no fucking need for that, you silly, stupid fucking bastard. And I, for one, think that's beautiful. We don't say thanks in Ireland. We go, ah, you fucking cunt, you. Huh? You're some fucking prick. You fucking bollocks now. There was no fucking need for that. That is how we say a proper thank you. Yes, on the day today. Oh, thank you very much. That was a lovely meal. How was everything? Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. That'll be 10:20. You're walking out the door. Thank you very much. But a true Irish thank you has at least 7 curses and feels like you're absolutely berating the person. And I'd realised the error my way and I apologised to Fionnuala and I says, Harry, I won't be calling you a bitch again. This is beautiful. The jersey is class. It's a replica of the 1994 Connacht Championship winning Leitrim jersey. McGovern's of Ahavas is on the front and it's just a pity I didn't have one for New York when I was over there. I was going to say with Leitrim, but following Leitrim and having a bit of a holiday for myself. And that made me think of money and our relationship with money and my relationship with money and the progression through life and how money intertwines through that. Our money doesn't buy you happiness and our money isn't everything. True statements. But let me tell you something. It's fairly fucking important. And money can't buy you happiness, but it certainly aids it. I've had no money, and I've had some money, and I will take some money every time over no money. Every time I will take the money over no money. By all means, I am not a rich man. I am not a well-off man. I am privileged and comfortable, but it could all be gone in a flash if I lose my job tomorrow, which is a true and real prospect when you're working in the media industry. Poof, I said bad thing. Poof, boss like me no more. Poof, someone buys our radio and I'm out of my arse. Poof, it's a real thing. No matter how good you're at your job, how many people tell you you're great, could all be done and dusted. Some of the best broadcasters in the world, not just Ireland, have been fucked out on their arse. So although I have enough to have a meal tomorrow, I have enough to pay the rent, I have enough to put diesel in my car, it hasn't always been that way, and there is the potential that it won't always be that way. I haven't always been obsessed with money, but I've definitely had an interest from a young age. I set up a shop, my home house, with 0 customers. My customer base, very short-sighted to me, was my grandparents, my uncles and aunts, and my mother. And the stock inventory that I had to be bought by my grandparents or my mother, and then I was selling them back their stock. It wasn't a great business model. We went out of business fairly rapidly. I think we were in business for about 2 evenings, and I realised that there wasn't great footfall on my hallway, so shut up shop. Profits, I don't know. I think little to none, if any. One thing I feel really bad about, and I still remember it to this day, and I don't know how to repay it, is I robbed money before. Not a lot, but enough to be a thief. My uncle's hungover bedroom. So, briefly, I grew up with my grandparents and lived with their children, which were my uncles and aunts. And when I was very small, they were still in the home house in Glenaid, County Leitrim. And the lads used to go out and get hammered. And there was a room still in the house called the boys' room. And there was bunk beds in there. And they were out this one particular night and they got rotten. And the room smelled of pungent alcohol when I went into it. And there was a tenner punt at the time, I believe, and I robbed it. And I still feel bad. But I wanted money. I knew it could unlock nice things, so I robbed the tenner. My uncles, I am sincerely sorry. I hope that I can repay you someday. I have never robbed money since, and I will not rob money ever again. Because the feeling of guilt, it still sticks with me how many years later. progressing through to my first job. Proper one at that was BMG Hardware, but the other money I made was in the boom times, when money was plentiful for the entire country, and I, a young lad, was employed by my uncle. One uncle was plastering for another uncle. One uncle was building a house, and the other one was plastering it. Gifted plasterer. Shout out, Luke. And I was given a day's job labouring. And I worked my ass off the first day. I was a great worker. Sweeping and bags of cement and what have you when you're labouring for a plasterer. A real go-getter. The second day, stone useless. My back was sore. I was in bits. Every bit of muscle I had was crying out for a rest. I lasted a full day and a little bit. And my uncle gave me £100 note. €100 note. It was post-2002. Silly money. That was around the time when you went in for a mortgage and the bank manager said, oh, you're only taking out 200,000. Jesus Christ, man, you'd want to take out 250,000. You can't have a brand new house and a shitty car out the front. You're going to have to get a brand new car as well. The banks were fucking demented. And anytime anyone tries to argue with me about Ukrainian refugees and draining resources, I say it's not the men in the tracksuits or the Ukrainians that are drain on resources. It's men in suits that fucked up this country. Not men in tracksuits. And that line came from a lad's name who now escapes me. And I really should give him credit. And to know he'd done a poem. Hold one sec. Let me get this fella's name, because I feel it's important that he's credited.
But it wasn't blokes in tracksuits that ruined the country. It was blokes in suits.
Emmett Kerwin. My apologies, Emmett Kerwin. Moving on from the days of the mortgages and money being plentiful to me getting my first job in BMG Hardware. And this does coincide with labouring and money being plentiful, because I got my job in the hardware just at the tail end of the boom. So there were still plenty of houses being built, still plenty of money going through the tills. Lads coming in with big feck-off Range Rovers. Money was plentiful, credit was plentiful, and then it all went to shit. So I got my first job, and I absolutely loved it, because why wouldn't I? The business was doing so well. The business was doing that well, it didn't know what to do with the cash that it was profiting from the business. They were happy for you to just tip about, look busy, but not actually do anything. But then the crash came. And a load of bad cowboy builders left a load of debt behind them. Everything slowed down and that job became unbearable. Far more difficult. But I did enjoy it for the first while, and I, for the first time, experienced financial freedom. I didn't have to ask €2 from my mother to buy dinner at the subsidised school canteen. I remember going to Sligo one day on the bus and spending €300 on myself. I've never forgotten it, because it was the most amount of money I spent in one day. I couldn't believe that I had this money to spend. Even thinking back now, I still get a kick out of thinking of the brand new runners that I bought, the clothes that I bought. €300 got you a lot at that stage. It was a lot of money to spend, especially when I was maybe 16. One of the greatest days of independence in my entire life. Flittering about Sligo with crisp €50 notes ready to spend on anything and on anyone I wanted. I honestly think I was richer when I was 16 than I am today. Now, you might think, that's very silly, you're only 16. But I was living at home, I didn't have a car. So you're not paying rent, you're not paying for groceries, you're not paying for petrol or diesel, You're not paying for insurance. You're not paying for all the equipment that I have now for the job that I'm doing. Literally, it was Dave go do job, Dave make money, Dave spend all money on drink and clothes and fags and what have you. Actually, I wasn't even a smoker at that stage. That's a story for another day, but I didn't stop. I didn't have my first cigarette until the last day of college, which was an idiotic mistake. I made it through all of secondary school and all of college, and then the very final day, I decided to pick up a packet of cigarettes, and I found out the appeal. They're disgusting fucks of things. Don't go near them. You'll definitely have no money. That job came to an unfortunate end, where I just didn't get called back. I never got a P45. I was never outright told that I was sacked. But it was 2012, and it coincided with our music festival that we were planning in Glenaid, County Leitrim. It fell apart. Owed a lot of money from it. And then I stopped getting shifts at the hardware store. Shout out BMG. First job and got fucking sacked. Not good, mate. So I was going to college at that stage. And when I say I was broke, I mean zero monies. I am in a world of debt. Not just financially, but emotionally to my mother, who gave me the money, and others as well, to get me through college. Shout out to the Susie grant as well. What a godsend. I was in college with people that were utterly privileged. Mammy and daddy had balls of money. Did no idea the hardships other people were going through just to get to college. Just to pay the rent. Rent was €1,200 for a house that sat between a methadone clinic and Wheatfield Prison. We were getting a bargain. There was six of us in the house when there should have been only four, so we were only paying €200 a month. But even then, it was a stretch. Luckily enough, I think the Susie grant coincided around the same time rent had to be paid, so it worked out easily enough. The train from Sligo to Dublin was €20. Mum would drive me in of a Sunday, and she would collect me off a Thursday night or Friday. But I lived on Iceland chicken fillets and wedges, the most basic meals, because it was all that could be afforded. Chicken fillet rolls were still about €2.53 at a time. There was a place on O'Connell Bridge in Sligo that you could get, not O'Connell Bridge in Dublin, it's a Circle K now, but it used to be a Landis, €2 chicken fillet rolls. And that's how I survived through college. No drinking, no three nights out a week. And when I tell you this, honestly, 2 years spent in Dublin in Ballyformer College of Further Education. Three nights out was the entirety, because it couldn't be afforded. Recession, no job, mum trying to put me through college on a Susie grant. Couldn't afford it. The first year I actually lived in Diggs, and that was €100 a week. And mum paid for that. And I had no appreciation of money and how difficult it was for her. But she done it. I was getting all my meals. So first year, all your meals and your bedding is paid for, your boarding. But I fucking was miserable in that Diggs place. It was so fucking lonely. And it was all down to having so little money. And on the last day of college, I was offered a job with the community radio station that I was working for in Bundoran called Western Waves. Shout out Western Waves. And I got my first job in radio on minimum wage. And I moved back home and I had a little bit of financial freedom. It was still very tough. There was no mad holidays. But I was comfortable. I was happy. Eating spuds and gravy every evening of the week. Then that job fell apart as well. The station was funded by the government. It ran out of money. There was no more funding coming. So out of my arse and on the dole. And I was just calculating how far back it was. 6.5 years ago, which in the grand scheme of things isn't that far back, I was on the dole on €188 a week job seeker's allowance. It's not a long time. And I will never forget it. And that's why you might think, Jesus, Dave, you're being a little bit depressing about money. But I realise it comes and it goes. Comfortable position now. Happy. I can afford to do things. But I work hard for it. But it could all be gone tomorrow. And one must never forget that. We're nearly going back to last week's episode with the fear of failure. Must drive on. Must keep doing it. But this is money we're talking about. Why are we uncomfortable talking about money? I, for one, certainly am. Of all the figures I've told you how much my rent was. I've told you how much a chicken fillet roll was in Dublin years ago. I was telling you how much the digs were, how much the train was, but not once have I told you how much money I was making in these jobs. I can't fully remember what I was making in the hardware, but I know that I was making about 300 quid a week in Western Wales Community Radio. It was minimum wage. Somebody will be able to work that out for me. It was about 300 euro, which at the time, you know what? Happy out, first job in radio, living at home, grand. I'll take that all day long. Some people had turned their noses up at it, but it's not a bad week's work. I've told you that, but I wouldn't feel comfortable telling you what I'm on in iRadio today. I wouldn't feel comfortable telling you how much I get per gig. Why is that? Why is it uncomfortable for an Irish man or woman to talk about money? I don't know how much my colleagues are on. I don't know if I'd like to know. I don't know if there'll ever be a time where I turn round to Fionnuala and go, how much are you on? Because I'm on this. I'm on X. Are you on Y? You should be on more. Because you're definitely the most talented in there. Why is that? Is it because it's a bit of cock measuring? Is it because it might have unintended consequences and cause a rupture in a workplace if people started talking to each other about how much they were on? Is it a fear of getting embarrassed by that another person is on more and you're on less? Is it the fear of upsetting someone else by them knowing how much money you're on? Must be actually quite difficult to be an RTE on 400 grand, Ryan Tuberty, and everyone knowing how much you're on. And then you're still even getting more. It's a difficult one to answer. I don't have a full theory on it yet. And maybe it's not just an Irish thing. Sometimes we do have a tendency, especially myself, to turn around and go, oh, that's so Irish. The thanking you stuff definitely is Irish. There's no other culture in the world that had called someone else a cunt because they'd done them a nice turn or a favour or give them an unexpected present. No way. Not a hope. There's no German or no Australian or no American doing that. They might go, ah, shucks, man. Oh, wow. Yeah, really flattered. There's no one else calling another person a cunt for doing something really nice for them. But when it comes to money, is this an Irish thing? I suspect it is, but I can't be fully sure. I know what my significant other, Niamh, makes. She knows what I make. But I don't know how much my friends make. And I don't think I'd ever ask them. I don't even like knowing when my mate sells a car, how much he got for it. or when someone asks me how much is a piece of equipment, sometimes I don't like to tell them. Is it showing off? I've been asked quite a few times over the past couple of years, how much money are you making in iRadio? How much money did you make for this gig? Some people are brave as fuck. The balls on them like Bengali tigers. They'll turn round and go, come here, how much are you making tonight? And I feel it's such an intrusive question, but I don't know why. Why should it matter? Why the fuck are we uncomfortable about talking about money? I will leave that with you. Answers on a postcard, please. And if you're still wondering how much money he makes in iRadio, it's a lot less than you think, but it's enough to get by. I'm currently living a comfortable life. But your definition of comfortable and my definition of comfortable might be two different things. I'm able to thankfully afford shopping. I have no car loan. I own my car. It's a 2012 A4. And she's gobbled up a lot of money over the last year. But I like to keep her right. I don't have much in savings. And when I say much, I mean very little. And my account is month to month because that's how I get paid. But I get by. Not lamenting poverty, but I'm certainly not living a lavish lifestyle. That's how I am with money. And it's best that way, because if I come into a lot of money, I would probably end up dead. Because I love spending money. Oh yes, I do. Nothing I love more than handing a crisp 50 euro note across a counter. Take that now and break it down. Sure, once it's by 50, it's no longer good. Ha, wee tip for yourself there. No bother. Good man, good woman, good child yourself. But I would really like your theory on why are we afraid to talk money? And with all that being said, it's time for the gospel. Rest in peace, Sinead O'Connor. A lot of people might have made a mockery of Sinead O'Connor, disregarded her. But there's a woman that stood for something. How many of us in this life stand for something? Stand by our convictions. That woman realized the clerical sex abuse in the Catholic Church in the 90s. And went on one of the biggest shows in America and performed a Bob Marley song and tore up the picture of the Pope, John Paul II, absolutely decimated her career in the United States of America, derailed her life. She was booed at Madison Square Garden at a concert. She was one of the most hated women in the world at one point because of her standing up for her beliefs and ripping up a picture of Pope John Paul. And it turns out that Sinead O'Connor was right to stand up about clerical sex abuse. We're all familiar with the stories, we're all familiar with the jokes now many years later, but Sinead O'Connor was a trendsetter. And she was one of the first people that should be attributed with progressing Ireland so much. I think we owe Sinead O'Connor more debt than we realise and we could have imagined. Sinead O'Connor had her demons. A tortured genius. May she rest in peace. And that is the gospel according to the Dave Duke podcast for this week. Now, I know the gospel can usually be mockery, and I hope you don't take it that way this evening. I mean what I said, and may she rest in peace. Truly a tortured genius that none of us might truly ever fully understand, but I, for one, appreciate how strong a woman she was. Time for questions. Opinions on Drumshambo, Mr. Dave Duke asks Podrick. I'm a fan of Drumshambo and County Leitrim. It's more of a teenage, underage thing that this happens. People ask you for your opinions and stuff. So, Padraig, I enjoy on Tostal Festival in 2018 or 2019. I think it might have been 2018. I was asked to judge the Stylish Silage competition in Drumshambo. So on Tostal Festival, happens every July. Didn't hear much about Stylish Silage this year, but they take bales of silage and some of the estates and the businesses and families and individuals paint them into stuff, and it's really cool. Also, the Shed Distillery in Drumshambo is amazing. That's where they make gunpowder gin, whiskey, sausage three vodka. Drumshambo's a cool place. Claire asks, what did ya / would ya ever enter into the Manor Hamilton show? Very Leitrim-centric this evening, folks. Very Leitrim-centric. I once entered a picture of a stuffed fox into the Manor Hamilton show in the wildlife photography section, and I won. And nobody ever knew any different. Now, I have admitted this on social media before, but it was €1 to enter a photo. I won a tenner, and I still have the rosette and the actual photo. So, Claire, maybe you already knew that story and you were trying to get it out of me. Perhaps not. Favourite part about the Barbie movie? Lads and ladies, and you listening right now, I fucking really enjoyed the Barbie movie. I thought it was excellent. Genuinely. Love Ryan Gosling. He is an amazing actor. And there is a dancing scene in the Barbie movie that I really enjoyed. But it might have been the 3 or 4 Barbie-themed cocktails I had in me at that point. At this point, we part ways. We must say goodnight and God bless and take care. And try and figure out why are we uncomfortable to speak about money to each other. We all know that we're making money. I think we disregard that sometimes. You look at someone right now, when you're listening to this, maybe you're doing it in private, maybe that wouldn't work, but maybe you're in the car and see the fucker driving by you. They're making money. Somehow. Maybe it's OnlyFans. Maybe they're a priest. Maybe they're a beggar. But they're all making money. Every fucking one of us is doing something to earn some money somehow. Why are we so uptight about it? And with that, I say to you, take it savage handy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.